5, 4, 3, 2.
We did a pretty good job celebrating the new WWE yes. Undisputed World Heavyweight Champion. Hopefully they can condense that title down to just WWE Champion.
At this point last year, we were sitting at this table lamenting about the loss of Cody Rhodes, wondering, what are they thinking? This is what they were thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully, we hope that that's what they were thinking.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to think...
We knew something like this would have happened.
They kept something like this in mind.
Yeah.
And it helped just further the ending of Night 2 of WrestleMania. But before we get to that, which we will talk extensively about... All right. Well, welcome back into the Radcast, everybody. And just like last year around this time, a very special edition of the Radcast. We're here in Decatur. It's after WrestleMania Night 1. We watched all of WrestleMania here with our very dear friends, Jeff and Katie Wright. And Jeff is on the show with us. So if you listen...
Hello.
Hi, Jeff. Welcome back.
It's the
back.
End of Night 2, not it's, Night 1.
I said at the end of Night 2. It's the end of Night 2 right now. We watched the whole thing.
Yes.
But for those of you that listened last year, with myself, Matt, and Jeff talking wrestling, you know what that means. It's the special annual edition of the Good Time Boys Wrestling Podcast.
Good Time Boys.
Makes me feel good. And we hope we make all of you feel good. But of course, we are here celebrating the spectacle that is not just WrestleMania, but WrestleMania 40.
Yes.
And all in all, a very, very solid weekend.
Mm-hmm. Night 2 definitely brought the average up, because Night 1, aside from a few matches, was kind of a downer. It was okay.
I shouldn't say it was a downer. It was just okay.
I think if the worst you can do is just okay, I still think that's okay. They bat 275 on this one, as opposed to batting 350 tonight.
The card was bookended by intriguing matchups. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and those aren't even accurate baseball batting average equivalents.
Yeah.
But just like Matt was saying, it brought the average up, because tonight, last night was 7 matches.
Yeah.
Last night being April 6th. Tonight, April 7th, when we're recording this, and obviously you'll be hearing it later after all this is said
much
and done.
Much later.
Yes, a week later after all this is said and done. Night 6, which is what we just watched. Night 2, 6 matches, what we just watched, and definitely...
6 nights of WrestleMania sounds not fun.
6 days and 7 nights of WrestleMania.
Exactly, each night's 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But tonight, top to bottom, was a very good card. Even what could be considered the quote-unquote weakest match was still a fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I know I walked in halfway through it, so to me, that's the Philadelphia Street Fight.
Taking a dookie.
Exactly. I was taking a dookie. Massive dookie. So it kept me out of commission for half the match. But you two watched the whole match.
Yeah.
And both can agree it was a very, very
fun.
The
match itself was fun.
Yeah.
The commentary was not.
Yeah.
Which may, to some people, may be controversial, just given the guest commentator. It's not him in particular. It's just he was misplaced in that match, just given the narrative they're trying to push in the match. And we'll get to it.
Yeah.
But who are you?
I'm Steven.
And I'm Matt.
Yeah, and Jeff is here. We already said Jeff.
I am Jeff.
Yes. Hello, Jeff. The Good Time Boys Wrestling Podcast for this week as we go over WrestleMania's Nights 1 and 2, WrestleMania 40.
And speaking of Jeff, you can find us on Instagram.
Yes.
Because we're normally the Radcast, except for
these couple episodes. You can find us on Instagram. We are at the Radcast. Mm-hmm. Cast is spelled with a K. Radcast is all one word. Mm-hmm. And while you're on our Instagram, the link in our bio is to the Redbubble page of Mr.
That's
Jeff
me.
Wright Designs, who is sitting to my left, your right, listeners.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, what are you doing in here? Get out.
Jeff is omnipresent in all of your homes.
Yeah.
So
we have Jeff to thank for our merch. We've got a couple designs on his Redbubble page. Mm-hmm. So go on and get yourself some mugs.
Couple more in the works, too,
couple
folks.
Couple more in the works, exactly. Too, so folks. You heard it here.
Some more to choose from. Last time you were on was at the beginning of February when mm-hmm. you announced we would mm-hmm. have our merchandise.
Like hotcakes.
Yes. And Jeff was saying they're selling very well, which...
posting about it.
Yeah,
anytime
exactly.
you send it to us, if you buy anything, if you are friends of ours and you have our phone number, shoot us a text, or you can still DM us on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Or if you're a total stranger, hello. Thank you for buying our merch. DM us a picture if you'd like us to post it on our Instagram. We love to share that kind of stuff because it fills our hearts with joy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, tidings of comfort and joy. Yes. If you are a stranger and you happen upon us because you want to hear three other strangers to you talk about WrestleMania 40, it's to assume that you are aware of WrestleMania 40 and any of our avid listeners who are wrestling fans who watched it, you're aware of WrestleMania 40. So we're not going to get too much in the weeds on like history of these people we'll touch a little on the build of some of these matches, but...
We're just going to give our review of the matches, our annual tradition that we developed last year, fun little twist. We could just get together and watch the show, but we have a little game that we made out of it.
Where's the fun in just watching?
Exactly.
So Jeff printed out, if you listened last year, heard, Jeff did an amazing job printing these WrestleMania prediction cards where we'll put our prediction, the actual winner. We have some wild card picks that help get us points. Mm-hmm. Jeff gives so many options for us to be able to obtain a point, half a point, in order to accumulate them throughout the night and see who is the Good Time Boys champion for the year.
Didn't help me this year.
Yeah.
Nope.
Who is the Good Time Boys champion? Well, last year was me, and this year it was me on a little squeaker. I only was about a point ahead of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it was another fun night of just doing that.
Good weekend.
And I have ended up with the Good Time Boys Wrestling Championship belt again.
Yeah. Oh, maybe next year.
Maybe next year. It's always maybe next year. And also, we'll go night one, night two. With night one, I mean, there's not a whole lot to go in depth with some of these matches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it kicked off Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley for the Women's World title.
Good match. Good opener.
I feel like Becky was maybe a little slow only because she had been sick with strep all week. And I think her head was probably cloudy. Rhea, beforehand, it was revealed she had a panic attack just mere hours beforehand.
Yeah.
So the two of them are such great performers, and I love how aggressive their delivery of their offenses are.
Yeah.
I love how they lay in their strikes, and I love just both of them, their charisma and their presence. So the two of them together, you'd be hard-pressed to get a bad match out of them. But it was fine. It was a fine, solid opener for a WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. I liked that. I liked Rhea's entrance with the live music.
Motionless and white.
I always like when a band is good
at
WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. There have been some bad ones.
Yep. It's a little shaky with the live audio.
Mm-hmm.
And this one in particular was pretty good.
I thought it was also cool that Becky had some quotes from her new book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for her intro.
Her ring gear. Yeah.
Yep.
And ring gear.
It's especially cool. She also looked like a pack of Marlboros.
Yeah.
The red, black, and white.
Light them up.
Yeah, exactly. A smoke if you got them.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty cool because Motionless and White was the band that does Rhea's entrance music.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just tell the genuine thrill was for her to be singing, her and the lead singer Chris Motionless, just like singing to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Just the absolute, like a dream come true.
Yeah, it was cool watching her actually sing her entrance song the entire way to the ring.
Totally jacked up. Total presence.
Mm-hmm.
Like a mega star.
Rhea is the face of the women's division. Like she, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
She has the look. She has
the mic abilities. She has their in-ring skills.
It's hard to think of who legitimately can take the belt off of her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tonight we all wanted Rhea to retain because...
Night one,
we all wanted Rhea to retain only because how they've built up Rhea. She won the title last year when it was just the Raw Women's Championship.
Yeah.
And then became the Women's World Championship, different belt design. But Rhea still was the champion. She's held it for over a year now.
Yeah.
And the big thing is with that much prestige she's put behind it, with as much of a presence as she is, with the work she's done, that's an opportunity to take somebody and push them and make them.
Yeah.
And Becky just isn't that person because she's already done everything. She's already done everything. The belt wouldn't do anything for her except get like a happy rah-rah pop. And everybody seemingly wanted Rhea to win anyway.
Mm-hmm. So. I could see maybe Tiffany Stratton.
I was just about to say. Mm-hmm.
In like 6 months, I could see her pulling off a good upset on Rhea Ripley. That would be fun.
And then Rhea just kind of given her gimmick of basically like, she's not calling herself the man, she's mommy, but she's like, mommy always ends up on top, stuff like that. And just she is, in terms of star quality, she is shines as bright as any guy on the roster. Something that I've thought, at least for the past year, if you book it carefully and correctly, conceivably she could be the first woman to win either the WWE title or the World Heavyweight title.
It's
kind of a stretch, but that's why I say if you book
it. She said how she wants to wrestle the men.
Yeah. She one of her role models is Chyna. Mm-hmm. She's like Chyna, just given her just overall charisma, her presence, not charisma, but like she has charisma. Chyna didn't have charisma, but Rhea can actually wrestle. So it's like, It's the presence and the just the image of Chyna, but someone who like can actually wrestle because during the Attitude Era, Chyna was so over that they were considering, that was something they were throwing around, was putting the belt on Chyna. She ended up winning the Intercontinental Championship, but like, I don't know if you.
I could see at the very least them doing that with like the U.S. title or something.
Yeah, but something, some sort of program where she says like, I've already gone through all the women. Like, I've always wanted to try my hand at the men. Like, and it just kind of rolls from there.
And even in whenever the Judgment Day, and again, for those of you listening, you more than likely are aware of what we're talking about. So we won't do a lot of explaining. But if you happened upon here and somehow you didn't, Judgment Day is a faction that she's pretty much the de facto leader, but she's like not the de facto leader. But it's just because she's the most popular in the group.
Yeah.
But it's JD McDonagh, Dom Mysterio.
I thought you were going to say JD McDonagh is the leader.
No. Damian Priest,
who
we'll talk about here pretty soon. Finn Balor, who's the leader. And
Dominic Mysterio.
I said Dominic Mysterio. Okay. Yeah. But why did I say? Oh, whenever the Judgment Day go against people, she has kind of roughed up a few of the men wrestlers.
Yeah.
And she's so strong.
Yeah.
Like, that's why it's so conceivable. It's not one of those things where, like, you get someone like Liv Morgan or Alexa Bliss, no disrespect to them at all, but they're petite. You know, it's not
they're
like
smaller women.
Yeah, they're smaller women. They're very popular, but, you know, popularity can only take you so far in what's still an image-based company. You know, them rolling somebody up in a schoolboy pen to win one of the men's titles, you know, that's more of a stretch. Mm. But Rhea, like you said, it's more conceivable at this point, at least a mid-card title.
Yeah.
It's been done. Impact Wrestling put their world championship on Tessa Blanchard.
Forgot about that.
So a company did do that. Granted,
forgot about Tessa Blanchard.
Yeah. Hopefully Rhea would have a better attitude. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
But also it depends on the context. Impact was pretty desperate at the time to try something and see what kind of waves it would make.
Yeah.
But all in all, it was a solid opener.
Definitely.
I mean, both of them, again, good workers. Mm-hmm. There were a few points in the match to where Becky looked a little sluggish. She missed a few moves here and there. But again, they're both such good, talented workers. Mm. You look
past it.
It
picked up the pace a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, and it's still, it kicked off the night pretty well. And here's where our faith in the night continuing that momentum was the next match was the six tag team ladder match. Yeah. There's a lot of like qualifying terms. Yeah. Six tag team ladder match for the Undisputed Tag Belts. But both sets of belts, the Raw and SmackDown ones, are suspended on hooks.
Yeah.
And you had the chance where a tag team could get both. Two tag teams could get each which happened here. But it was
a lot of fun.
It was.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, just like last year. Last year's tag match was really, really fun.
Yeah. With these matches, they're never going to be technical showcases. Mm-hmm. You're either going to get... It's either going to be fun or it's going to be a clusterfuck. And this one was fun.
It was.
Mm-hmm. It starts off a little chaotic.
It got a little scary at parts.
Yeah. Anytime you have a ladder match, there's like the token ladder match spots where you just wince.
Yeah.
Like
I wasn't even talking about that. I was talking about the ladder itself.
Oh, yeah. Yes, the ladder buckling near the end of the match.
That was terrifying.
Ladder spots in general are the ones that make me cringe the most. Just because that thing is either way. I mean, with a lot of weapons and just wrestling in general, the nature of it, both of you can get hurt. Both opponents can get hurt no matter what you do. But ladders especially have zero give.
Yeah,
and you're bound to have both of you get hurt no matter what you
do. All it takes is a freak accident to massively mess something up and hurt someone.
There were a couple moments in this match where we're like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like like JD McDonagh, this bump he took into
the Judgment Day,
the Judgment Day into the tables. But it was the Judgment Day, Finn and Damian Priest, who are the champs, against the
A-Town Down Under. Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. Mm-hmm. Who's the Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate?
New Catch Republic.
You had the Awesome Truth, who is The Miz and R-Truth, who's been just massively over. Just so much fun to watch.
He's so goofy.
Funny. That's
New Day.
New Day, Xavier and Kofi Kingston. Uh-huh. And then
DIY.
So Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. Mm-hmm. So those are your teams. Mm-hmm. And then
a lot of bodies. A lot of hardware.
Yeah. A lot of stuff to figure out, but also a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And ultimately you have the Awesome Truth, which is R-Truth and The Miz, winning the Raw tag team titles and A-Town Down Under, which that
surprised me.
I did not see that coming.
A lot of people I saw online on like Reddit and Twitter thought that A-Town Down Under was going to get replaced in the match for some reason. I don't remember why.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of speculation that they're going to be replaced. So I think it's fun and exciting that they ended up winning one of the belts.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't expect it was, they kind of captured it pretty quick. Because at one point the ladder was set up underneath the SmackDown titles and Grayson Waller just flew up the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And usually in a ladder match, like usually to build, like in the climax of a ladder match to build tension, someone scales the ladder really slowly as the crowd crescendos and noise, but he just like whoop, just scaled the ladder, and that's when you usually expect someone to go up the other side and throw him off or something. So they clinched that pretty quick.
Yeah,
which no complaint. I was like, oh, they won.
Yeah,
cool.
And what's ironic is matches like this that generally a ladder match, you so many throughout the history of pro wrestling is a great, they have great ways of building that tension, building a story, because they have 15 minutes. Well, a match like this has maybe 10 minutes tops, and that's pretty much including entrances.
Yeah.
So all you can do is it's just high spot after high spot.
Go get the ladders, start doing moves.
Impact
ladders,
maneuver. Yeah. Each team jumps in with their momentum angle, and you get people hitting big moves off the ladder, people throwing through tables. It's a car crash. Essentially, bodies everywhere. But Jeff, we had mentioned at the beginning of talking about this match, there was a scary moment because every weapon essentially is gimmicked. The tables are gimmicked, so they break easily. And as we saw, the ladders are gimmicked in a way because they're
they still have a metal element to them, but as we saw a ladder buckle, they're made of kind of a different material, so it's not going to be as devastating of an injury if you're hurt, but it still hurts.
It still hurts, folks.
It still hurts.
You're still landing on something.
The nature of wrestling is things are gimmicked in a way, the ring itself is, but it all still hurts.
It's all meant to hurt less.
Yeah.
To not hurt your opponent.
Yeah.
But it's still going
to
hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there was a moment to where the ladders started to buckle.
And I just feel like no one saw it for a little while. Like Miz jumped up on the ladder and it had like on the side that was buckling. Damian Priest was climbing on the other side. One of the refs was trying to get his attention and he played it good for a heel who I think didn't realize what was happening. He tried to like brush her off.
Yeah.
But eventually, Miz and Damian were both on the ladder, and it was one of those spots where it's like something could have really bad happened, but they both kind of jumped off of it and got a replacement ladder, which was
which
so stress relieving,
especially on the stage like WrestleMania. Like you had mentioned, Miz jumped on it, and that's not just like a turn of phrase or just, you know, just saying it. He jumped on it. Like he came sprinting into the ring to get to his spot on the ladder and jumped a couple rungs. And we were like, oh, cause you could see it buckling.
Mm-hmm.
And if it snapped, they could have gotten hurt and it's on the biggest stage of them all.
Oh yeah. There's a lot of wincing that goes on. And, when you watch a ladder match, and especially in this match, which there's one particular spot that makes you wince, and it didn't have to do with the ladders, but JD McDonagh goes through two tables outside of the ring, which gets a pretty big pop.
I thought the Johnny Gargano DDT to Pete Dunne was worse.
Yeah.
Like through the table.
It looked like
that's
Johnny
true.
Gargano
I forgot about that
him
one.
Right into the outside.
Yeah. Speaking of pop though, R-Truth doing his favorite wrestler growing up, quote unquote, John Cena. He does his five moves of doom, the five knuckle shuffle and the protoplex.
Spin out power bomb.
And which got a huge pop from the crowd, which this crowd, I'm seeing a lot online, like people criticizing the Philadelphia crowd because it does seem like it was dead a lot of the night. But also there's, like, just being at events and the crowd is loud and then you watch it back on TV and you're like, oh, it was much louder when we were there. It was a mix of people blaming it on the weather because it was pretty cold and pretty chilly. And like people who were there were like, yeah, it was really cold. But also the people who were there were like, I don't know what you're talking about. We were all screaming our heads off.
Yeah.
So it's hard to
capture an audience's sound in an open arena
because the sound travels up. But then you have people saying like, well, Lincoln Financial Field is designed in such a way to hold sound in. So the verdict is still out as to why the night one crowd for most of the night didn't seem like they sounded good. But in that particular R-Truth spot, they sounded great.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I almost went to this WrestleMania.
That's true.
I didn't want to buy a ticket for both nights, though.
Yeah, because they charge for both nights.
Because I have a friend, hello, Jared. He lives out in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to fly out and stay with him, and we were just going to drive to Philly. But I didn't want to spend $800 on two tickets.
Yeah, so you're stuck with us.
Yeah, dang it.
Yep. Oh, man. Not just that, but $800 are probably really high.
I think... when we were looking, there was like nosebleeds. It was like that much.
Yeah.
At that point, is it even worth it?
Yeah. And it's tough because, now, don't get me wrong. Like, okay, night two showed that, I'm trying to find a way to tactfully get around. This WrestleMania, there were great matches with great builds, but a lot of it was off the back and the build of Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, The Bloodline, The Rock,
that whole
Rollins.
Story is what sold the pay-per-view. It's very, in years past, it's like, yeah, you've got your main event, which is your main event, but there are different undercard matches to where the story is as such where people are like, I'm excited for that. Excited for that. The undercard matches purely felt like, oh, this is the undercard. We know exactly where we're at. The main event. The whole Bloodline story, when you throw in The Rock, who turned heel and all that stuff, that's what people paid to see. Mm-hmm. And everything else weren't accessories. They were still good matches, yeah. And there was still story to it. But I wouldn't be surprised if people would be like, oh, Bayley won the Royal Rumble. I forgot about that. Like, mm-hmm. that, and otherwise any other WrestleMania would be a very good personal story.
Yeah, so why are AJ and LA Knight fighting? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was that's like a typical story that you tell. But it's just, I mean, everything had its own element to it. But again, that doesn't diminish them. I just think the main event, angles for both nights were built so strong that it just kind of, every other match was kind of at a disadvantage as far as interest goes for a lot of people, I feel. But that doesn't mean they underperformed. Well, most of them performed fine, either fine or good or really well. Only a couple of them underperformed.
Yeah.
The next match was that everything you guys had to say about the ladder match?
Yeah.
The next match was Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Dominic Mysterio and
Santos Escobar.
Yeah. Who was defected from the LWO and turned on them. It was all right.
It was a fine match. I feel like with WrestleMania, people expect surprises and twists and swerves and stuff like that. And this match didn't have one. Like, I know a lot of people were speculating maybe Carlito was going to turn on Rey. I thought maybe Andrade was going to turn on Rey as the last minute partner for him after Dragon Lee got injured. There just wasn't any surprises. Like, I mean, it's not bad.
I mean, Jason Kelsey.
That's
members of the Philadelphia Eagles show up.
There weren't any surprises that people could have somewhat guessed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That was kind of random. Jason Kelsey and that other guy thrown in there.
And I get it. You're in Philly. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Cool. But, for people who are not from Philadelphia, for people who are not familiar with all of the players on the Eagles, because who was the other guy? It was Jason Kelsey and Lane.
Matt's looking it up. Lane something.
He's a tackle.
Yeah.
But for people who don't know the Eagles, they saw those guys on mask.
Lane Johnson. Lame Johnson.
Because Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson, they jumped the barricade with luchador masks on, Philly colors, and attacked Dominic, helped Rey and Andrade win the match. They unmasked, and because me and Matt and Steven were like, who is these huge dudes?
I was kind of excited.
What is that?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then it was just two football players, and I'm like, if you don't know football, you don't know who these guys are.
Lane The Rock Johnson. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. The only way that I think a lot of people who are just football or are just wrestling and just no other sport or no other athletic competition, the only way they would know who maybe Jason Kelsey is because since the beginning of the football season, I mean, Jason Kelsey in his own right
He's a future
Hall of Famer, of course. But his brother's Travis Kelsey, who's dating Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And
Travis Kelsey's also a future Hall of
Famer. That's the thing.
Yeah.
They are. But that doesn't have as much of an impact to the universal entertainment audience, which WWE bleeds into entertainment. So it's cool. You get someone like Pat McAfee popping over like, Jason Kelsey,
because McAfee is a football guy.
Yeah, but you kind of get everybody else's viewpoint, it seems, when tonight, night two, when in the World Heavyweight title match, when they're during the pre-show, or it was a moment where CM Punk is out on commentary.
Yeah.
And he's like, Jason Kelsey. And CM Punk's like, oh, the Taylor Swift's boyfriend's brother. Well, first he said Taylor Swift's brother's brother. And he's like, I mean, boyfriend's brother.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the attitude.
I am my boyfriend's brother.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Are you there, guy?
I am my brother's keeper and my boyfriend's brother.
But all in all,
the match itself felt like a match that would have been on like hour two of Raw or something like
that. Or back in the day to when WrestleMania was an 8-hour show. It's a pre-show match.
Yeah. It would have been a pre-show.
I do find it weird that there's no pre-shows anymore. Yeah. Like pre-show matches.
Oh yeah. All it is it's 2 hours of the WWE pundits going over, you know, going over all the stories that are going into night one, night two.
Which, I mean, I know that the pace structure for like WrestleMania cards is somewhat complex. Mm-hmm. I do think I've heard that it benefits the wrestlers to not be on the pre-show because you get paid higher for being on that main card.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's still weird
that
there's no pre-show matches. Just pay people more.
Yeah.
Put on some pre-show matches. Mm-hmm. Get the crowd going a little bit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. The night, it was cool. The night actually kicked off with a new WWE intro video, which is Triple H narrating because, as Michael Cole has said, and as Cody Rhodes confirmed tonight, pretty much, we are at the beginning of the Paul Levesque Triple H era of the WWE.
In full control, which is a completely welcome change.
Oh yeah.
Who have told me this at WrestleMania 20 that I would be happy that Triple H is in charge of the WWE. I would have said, no way, he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
So excited to see which what direction he takes everything in.
I hope it continues down this way. We're not going to get into the Vince McMahon stuff.
Nope.
I mean, it's been months since all this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to do independent reading, there's stuff all over the place, but we're not going to get into it. Vince McMahon is the scumbag everybody thinks he is, thought he was, and forever will be because he's non-repentant over the shitty things he's done.
There seems to be just this, even with, especially with Paul Heyman's Hall of Fame speech, which was just amazing. There just seems to be this excitement, this enthusiasm, this happiness that people don't have to deal with Vince McMahon and his weird idiosyncrasies and his weird little whatever. People cite him as a genius. They're like, oh, he's really good at this, and this. But especially in the last 5 or 6 years, you just like, the man is just out of touch, and he just has these weird little things about him. And like people are on edge when it just feels like people want to work for Triple H, for Paul Levesque.
Yeah.
And they're excited. They're on board. They're like, I love professional wrestling. There's not a lot of like, you know, like Michael Cole in commentary tonight, he's like, I love professional wrestling.
God, I love professional wrestling.
And this is Michael Cole, like one of Vince McMahon's guys who is like, you know, yes, sir, no, sir. Like, he had Vince in his ears all these years and he was like sports entertainment, sports, like he's very much a Vince lackey kind of like guy.
Company guy.
He's a company guy. Not even a lackey. But he's just,
I have too much respect for Michael Cole to call him a lackey. He was a company guy.
Yeah. So, and even now in his commentary, he just feels more relaxed and stuff like that.
Yep. So. Up next was, what was up next? It was TBJ? Yeah. Up next was Brother versus Brother. The Usos, Jimmy and Jay. Jay has been shot to the moon. He is over like Rover. Main event Jay Uso. He's been on the side of the good guys for half a year, most of the year, ever since all the Bloodline fallout of last year.
Yeah.
Bloodline fallout, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But main event Jay Uso versus Jimmy. And this just wasn't a good match.
It was very underwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For something as deeply personal as something like this kind of storyline should be.
I feel like, again, part of the like swerves and change ups and things like this, I feel like this match should have had a stipulation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stipulation. This should have been like an I quit match or a last man standing match, or, you know, I know we had a street fight on night two and everything, but maybe like a hardcore match. It should have been something other than just a straight up singles match.
First blood match. Yeah.
Ooh, a first blood match would have been good.
Because their blood, you know, the bloodline, their blood.
Steven, you're pretty smart.
That's why I won the title tonight.
Yeah, okay.
And they've started going back to incorporating blood and stuff into, at least to enhance drama and storylines. And that's the thing is this, like I said, this is a very personal storyline. Mm-hmm. This should be very dramatic. This should be very emotional. And there just weren't those
emotional beats in it.
You could have easily had that emotion driven into it if it was a First Blood match by like the commentators hyping up like these two are brothers. They've grown up with each other. They've loved each other. They've been pushed to the point of hatred so much that they're willing to draw the blood of family tonight. Yeah. It kind of writes itself.
Exactly. There wasn't enough of like, I don't want to do this to you. Like, I just, as a twin, putting myself in that position.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you're a twin?
I am a twin.
We are twins. This is a show run by two freaks.
Like,
whoa.
As twins, I think you can agree, like, even if we get super pissed off at each other, I couldn't even think or dream of hurt, like, physically putting you in pain.
It's just
and hurting you.
I can't put my hands on you.
And, yeah. And just the idea of like a First Blood match, like as a twin related, it's like, whoa, I could never even dream of making my brother bleed.
Yeah, it's tough though, especially with the video package. Like, I mean, that
it was a good video package.
That hit me a little bit.
Yeah.
Because especially in this scenario, twin brothers who they've done everything in their wrestling careers as a tag team together.
Mm-hmm. You do everything in your life
exactly.
together.
Exactly. And yeah. That and then just also just in the realm of wrestling, they're 10, 11 time tag team champions over the last 15 years. They've been in the company together, and it's only in the last few, minus kind of in 2020 when Jay started to split off, and then the bloodline stuff really happened.
Yeah, there was maybe one point of actual drama.
Mm-hmm.
And like Jay is in the corner and he's got a prone Jimmy and Jay's about to go attack Jimmy. Jimmy's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry.
He's like, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Mr. Jay.
Mr. Jay.
Mr. Jay.
This whole card could have benefited from more stipulations.
Yep. Which, you know, a balance is good.
Yeah.
Especially with this many match, you know, if you have, because a multi-person tag match, there were a lot of tag matches, which that's not really, it's a match type, it's match type, it's not really a stipulation. Yeah.
But it's you know, it's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You're supposed to, if you're going to pull out all the stops and evoke emotion, do it at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And this match was like, it was like, pretty much just super kicks, and
they both wrestle the same
and
style.
Splashes off the top rope.
I will say this match and the main event of night two, I'm not sure how true this is, but for me, both of them kind of felt AEW-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because in this Jimmy J match, it was like super kick after super kick to each other, which is very reminiscent of AEW.
Yeah.
And there's a spot in the main event of night two where Cody was giving super kicks.
Yeah.
And Roman kept coming back with like a boot to the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was kind of back and forth for a little bit. I'm like, they're a very common criticism of AEW is that they don't sell for anything.
Yeah.
They're very move focused.
Yeah.
They
and
just
this,
do the move.
This, the, these two moments, the Jimmy J match and the Cody Roman match, had those moments where I'm like, they're not selling anything, so it kind of threw me off.
I think the thing is, it's there's so much to wrestling in the storytelling that just on the subject kind of with AEW is it's a lot of it is indie darlings and people who, you know, cut
made
their
name on off high spots.
Yeah, or, you know, wrestling in Japan, wrestling in the indies, cutting their teeth on the indies. And
it's where the focus is, like, putting on good wrestling matches, doing cool moves.
But the thing is, they're not so much focused, and I think maybe it could have to do with nerves, too, because now, thankfully, they're getting opportunities, getting paid well. You know, if you're going to wrestle, you don't want to be wrestling in a bingo hall for $100. Maybe, unless the booker stiffs you or the promoter stiffs you or whatever. But the thing is, I think now a lot of wrestlers just, they memorize sequences, but don't focus so much on the impact of their moves,
the psychology
of what they're doing. So that's why
what makes sense.
I think there's a lot of no selling and a lot of like the super kick and, you know, striking exchange between Cody and Roman. I think a lot of that is in AEW because I feel like a lot of them are lacking as, you know,
armchair quarterback here, but just from my 20 years of really studying this form of entertainment, I feel like it's a lot of just the focus is memorizing sequences, because on the indies, to get asses in the seats, you want to get the fans in the door so they can pop at the flip, as it's called by wrestling, you know, old fogies, flippy dippy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of what is being said by any of the three of us is expertise.
No, no.
We're all fans. I could tell you right now, Jimmy and Jay was not a good match, but I'm also someone who has never stepped foot in a wrestling ring.
Yeah, exactly.
And if those two guys at the end of the night were happy with what they did, that's all that matters.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, it wasn't a good match.
I'm just kidding.
It was, it underperformed for me.
Given the storyline, the match itself came off as something, again, that would be maybe at like Backlash.
Or
like any other secondary pay-per-view, or even like SmackDown
or Raw. Crown Jewel.
The match itself, you expect more given the actual storyline. Yeah. You want more points of emotional weight.
Yeah. What this match did for me was honestly kind of make me want the Usos to come back together as a team.
Yeah.
Because I don't.
Fight's over. Sorry, Mark.
I mean,
the room.
It's no knock against them.
No.
They've been a tag team. They've been tag team wrestlers for the majority of their career.
They're arguably the best in WWE.
It is a difference to go into a singles match as compared to a tag match. You know, you don't have as many minds to collaborate with in a singles match. So, you know, I think it'll be a really cool moment after the whole Bloodline storyline. I would think, spoilers, I mean, WrestleMania is over, so
I hope for a week at this point.
But, you know, after the conclusion of the Roman Cody match, after hopefully the conclusion of the Bloodline stuff, I think it'll be a very cool moment once Jimmy and Jay do eventually come back together.
Yeah. All that to say, Jay won. We all think Jimmy should have won. Jimmy needs something. Obviously, just given the nature of the whole main event Jay thing, it's Jay is the Shawn Michaels and Jimmy's the Marty Jannetty, going back to like the Midnight Rockers.
Yeah.
Jimmy needs something. And if he's fine with it, cool.
Yeah.
But if it's me, it's like, I gotta have something to show that, oh, I'm not just like I'm just as good as my brother. And just from a storytelling perspective, Jimmy needed something.
Yeah.
And as we'll probably get into night two in the main event, there was something that lent itself to see Jimmy should have won, because at least this particular showdown in assisting Cody in the main event would be, I don't know, it would mean a little something different.
It'd be better if Jay got his heat back.
Yeah.
You know, in wrestling terms. Yeah. And, you know, he loses to Jimmy the night before, and then Jimmy comes in. He's, you know, cock of the walk.
Yeah.
And he comes in to interfere
Watch
with
your mouth.
Okay, well, all right.
Fine. He's a little cocky boy.
Yeah, he's a cocky boy. he comes in, chest puffed out. He's got confidence. So he interferes with the Bloodline Rules match. And, you know, then we get here main event Jay's theme. And then he gets his... Yeah. "Quote unquote," his win back, to get his own confidence. All in all, again, underperforming, not that great.
Something,
yeah. This match just needed something, because without something, this is something. Saying something a lot, but without something, this match is just what a lot of people are calling and like the message boards and stuff. Yeah. You know, too little, too late. If you're just gonna have a singles match like they had, you know, it could have been done at the Royal Rumble. It could have been done at if you wanted to, want to do one of the big four pay-per-views, put it on there. But it wasn't the WrestleMania match. It could have been.
Yeah.
So after that is a six-woman tag match. It is Bianca Belair,
Naomi.
It is Naomi, and Jade Cargill against the other members of Damage Control, Dakota Kai.
What did you call them?
The Ebony Goddesses. Three beautiful, beautiful, strong black women. And they are excellent workers.
Yeah.
And they face Damage Control, other members of Damage Control, Asuka,
the Ebony Goddesses,
Kairi Sane, and Dakota Kai.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons that night one was just okay, is the first two matches were solid, and then the next three were just either fine, underperforming, serviceable, and then the main event helped cap off the night strong.
Yeah.
This match was just something to where it was cool to showcase Jade. I think that was one of the biggest reasons it was put together.
I feel like it was the only reason it was put together.
Because all three women have
had... She's going to be... Yeah. We're talking about earlier, like, we don't know who could beat Rhea.
Yeah, but Jade's on SmackDown right now.
That's true. But, eventually, at some point, they're going to butt heads.
Yeah, and all three women have had their issues with damage control. I mean, Bianca more so than all of them because she feuded with Bayley for the longest time. Mm-hmm. All of them had their issues with damage control. So story-wise, that makes sense. But I think it was also a way to showcase Jade and put her with two stalwarts, put her with two former women's champions, two WWE vets to help kind of protect her, to help kind of cushion some what she does, kind of warm the other, their opponents up for her to take her power moves, and she got the pin. She looked like not just $1 million, she looked like $10 million.
Yeah.
She's a star.
Not just her, like her appearance, her presence. Mm-hmm. Like she's like once she's still a little green, but she's willing to learn. She's got
She has Jade, so.
Yes.
Ha ha.
Ha ha.
Yes.
She's cut like a diamond, as CM Punk would say.
Cut as a jade.
Oh, yes.
Yes. But she's only going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the people backstage surrounding her and believing in her and just kind of polishing her up.
She's in a system to where she can get better.
She's going to be, she might, next year you could see her in the women's title picture. Mm-hmm. She might win the Royal Rumble. Like, there's the sky is the limit for her. And basically, like, the babyface team gets all their spots in, and they pull out the victory. Like, pretty predictable, but it's fine. Like, it was a fine match, a six-woman tag match. You get your typical spots in that match. Babyfaces win. Crowd goes home happy. They get to see Jade Cargill in her first WrestleMania. She's just... In the post night one press conference, she's just glowing. Like, she's just having the time of her life. She's like, I've never experienced anything like I'm at WrestleMania. Like, I've never experienced anything like this. And she was on some pretty big shows in AEW. But it's not WrestleMania. All In is not WrestleMania.
They kind of just skyrocketed her to the top without any sort of refining.
Yeah.
She's green now, but she was like green is goose shit, as they say. But she was on from day one on television.
Yeah,
it kind of some of her the pitfalls.
Yeah,
some of her inexperience showed into a national audience.
Yeah,
and now she can be molded and shaped and and help to work better now. And she is going to be a star if she wants to be.
Yeah,
because she wants to be. If she continues to stick with it and wants to be, she's going to be a star in the WWE. Speaking of stars, the night ended on a high note.
Well, we got to do Sammy and Gunther.
We
almost skipped that.
That's right. Well, as we talk about it, it's almost justified that we almost skipped it. Booking
choice.
Right before the main event, Sammy, Zayn, and Gunther fought for the Intercontinental Championship. Gunther, 666 days as an IC champ, a absolute unit and force to be reckoned with.
This was almost a perfect match.
Almost, yeah.
If it was just another person in it against Gunther.
Yes. Yeah. And we love Sami Zayn.
We do.
Big Sami Zayn.
But
great underdog.
Yes.
This great was, selling.
He became the challenger as a result of Battle Royal.
Gauntlet match.
And the person who should have been in this match, he eliminated in the Gauntlet match, Chad Gable, who they still worked him into the build as someone helping train Sammy. Sammy, I faced Gunther in his Warpath during his reign. I want to train you. And there's a lot of training montages. They tried to fit Chad in there, but the problem is he wasn't fit in there correctly because he should have been facing Gunther because he has history with losing in a big way to Gunther.
And he could still be an underdog.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It was what? It was like a 4 week build, 3 weeks, something like that.
It was a short build.
It was short.
It's forced. It was a really forced build.
This is an example to me of a match being booked perfectly. Mm-hmm. The match itself was booked perfectly.
Yeah.
The story they told was perfect. Everything about it to me was an amazing match. And again, if this was any other time, if this was Sammy beating Gunther and like Gunther's second IC title reign, third IC title reign, whatever, I would have been fine with it. But for it to be a record setting title reign by Gunther, this should have been something to make someone new.
Yeah.
Not someone who has already been in the mid card, who has already been in the main event scene from time to time.
Who's already won the Intercontinental title.
Someone who has already been at this level before. Because, I mean, Sami Zayn main evented night one last year at WrestleMania. He didn't need this spot.
No, no.
Chad Gable could have benefited so much, in my opinion, from being in this match.
Yep.
And being in the Sami Zayn spot, because like we said, Sami Zayn, or I don't know if we said it, but Sami Zayn won. Sami Zayn won, ended a record setting title reign. And I just think it would have been better, that much better, had it been Chad Gable.
Mm-hmm. It was just, we were just kind of left sitting there like, this just feels weird.
Because none of us thought Gunther was going to lose, because I think we all were in agreement. Sami didn't need to be the one to end his reign.
No, nope. It just, it was just like that massive of a title reign, the way it ended, it was like, that doesn't feel right at all.
And the way
it was like you mentioned, Jeff, it feels right just with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Because honestly, everything you did with Sammy, you could have done with Gunther, even the parts to where
Gable.
Yes. Yeah. You could have done with Chad Gable. To where even the parts before the match where we see Sammy's wife and his son back there and his wife sitting like ringside, you know, in the front row. I mean,
Gable could have done it for Sammy's wife.
Yeah, exactly. Does he know, baby?
does he know, baby?
What? But you could have done that because on Raw, back when Chad Gable had his underdog moment against Gunther, I mean, there's kind of this, you know, what's become kind of a famous moment is where you see Chad's wife and his daughter sitting at ringside. And when Chad loses, his daughter breaks down crying. Mm-hmm. And that's something Gunther used to like poke fun at Chad, to like mention his daughter crying. That's something you can harken back to in the build.
Yeah.
Have his wife and his daughter give him the pep talk backstage before we follow him through Gorilla out to the entrance stage. And then have his wife and his daughter there, and then he celebrates with it. See, it feels better with Gable because there was already that history from a few months ago.
Yep. So Gable and Sammy will probably be in a program for the IC belt because Gable's like, hey, remember, you owe me something or something like that. So Gable will probably still get an IC title reign, but it should have been done this way because that feels very WrestleMania to me. Like that feels like a satisfying underdog story. Right. This just felt just forced. Off. It just felt forced to me. Elements that aren't done right.
Mm-hmm. It just seemed a lot that just seemed rushed.
Yeah.
And they wanted the story of the underdog beating Gunther and ending it. And Sammy is Mr. Reliable that he had. He was
good match.
He
again,
was
a good
was
a match.
It was. Yeah. It was. And that's the thing that kind of sucks and it takes away from it is it just wasn't the right guy. Sammy had his underdog massively hot moment for last those year. Few months when he turned on the Bloodline and main event in night one WrestleMania last year with Kevin Owens. Like that was Sammy's time. This should have been Chad's time. Who knows the reasoning behind it? I think maybe they just tried to go with Mr. Reliable. But like we said, Sammy didn't need it. He didn't need the victory like this. He didn't need to be the one to end Gunther's streak. Things like this that go on for so long. I mentioned it with Rhea, how he said Becky wasn't the person to do it, and she wasn't. Sammy's not the person to do it. He doesn't need it.
Yeah.
Now, if last year it worked him against Roman because people were like, he's not going to beat Roman, but then like He's really, really hot right now. He might beat Roman, Montreal, where he's from.
Yeah.
He might beat Roman. Yeah. That is where the story, if he were to win, you know, doing something like that, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
But this just wasn't it.
Yeah.
But the night ended on a high note with a very good match. High note as far as match quality, mm-hmm. as far as the performances.
Story-wise,
how it lent to night two. But low note because the good guys lost.
Yeah.
And it's The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins mm-hmm. and Cody Rhodes. And like I mentioned earlier, the whole event was built off of the build of, or was off the back of the build of this main event mm-hmm. and night two's main event.
Yeah.
It was all, even the world heavyweight champion, Seth Rollins, you know, got involved, stuck his nose where it didn't belong, as it was said by someone like The Rock.
Yeah.
Plus it's The Rock showing up to wrestle, to actually get in and actually wrestle a match for the first time in like 12 years.
Which on paper, if you look at that, just given his history over the past, when he shows up, he's like The Rock, like Hollywood guy, everlasting babyface, will always get a pop, even if it's a nostalgia pop. People will always cheer for him. There's no, like, you see it and you're like, oh, The Rock, seriously? But the reason this was so intriguing was because it did kind of start out that way, because Cody won the Rumble, then The Rock comes back and kind of uses his stroke as a member of the TKO board, which is the company that acquired WWE, to basically make it's gonna be me and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. People are like, wait, no. Cody still has this story that he's got to finish. Cody won the Royal Rumble. We don't want to see Cody versus Seth for the world title. We want to see Cody versus Roman Reigns for the WWE title. Like, this is what this is building to. Mm-hmm. So people were like, legitimately mad at The Rock, and they used that.
He rolled with it.
There was that press conference in Vegas where, like, Cody was like, you don't get to determine the main event of WrestleMania. I won the Royal Rumble and I'm facing Roman Reigns. And then he brings the Anoa'i family into it, and like the Mayavia family, like that Samoan dynasty.
Yeah.
Makes it personal. And then just through a sequence of events, The Rock legit turns heel, mm-hmm. like a legit bad guy.
Yeah.
Which people, if you see The Rock's involvement with anything WWE over the past, you know, 6 or 7 years, 5, 6 years, stuff like that, it's smiley, I'm The Rock. Like, remember, I'm like nostalgia appearance. I'm here and people love me and they're going to cheer for me because I'm The Rock and I'm just Mr. Smiley and Mr. Grateful.
Does a little Goosebumps thing.
Yeah. And like the whole tour.
I also love reading Goosebumps.
Yes. Yes. He reads Goosebumps books.
But like, it just feels very inauthentic, mm-hmm. you know? And like, I'm Mr. Good Guy, The Rock, and him legit turning heel. It's like, oh, this mm-hmm. is interesting.
Yeah.
And because you forget that he was a badass heel at different points mm-hmm. when he was wrestling. He's an actor. He's got wrestling in his blood, so he knows what buttons to push and stuff. And so now it's personal, because mm-hmm. then you bring in the Rhodes family, and then you got Seth Rollins who comes in and is like, I want to help you with this, and that's how we get this tag team match
mm-hmm.
With heel Rock, Roman Reigns.
The final boss,
Rock,
mm-hmm.
And then versus Seth and Cody.
Yeah.
So very mm-hmm. intense story build.
I think intense is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
You know, I think this main event and night two's main event, for me, did what any good movie, television show, anybody telling a story does. And it put me on the edge of my seat,
mm-hmm.
made me nervous. How is this going to be? How's the stack? The deck is stacked against Cody.
Yeah.
How is Rock going to impose his will? Because
yeah.
during this match, you know, he looks at the ref and he's like, you know, don't fucking count. Because it's the ref will usually, if they're outside of the ring, actions outside of the ring, the ref's going to count.
Starts a 10 count.
Yeah, he's like, don't you fucking count or you're fired. Like, stuff like that.
It's like, oh, that's real.
That's the thing. Rock has been
heel shit.
He's been pretty scary as the final boss. Like, he's Mr. Smiley on social media, but when he's in the ring, he, like, turns it up.
Yeah.
And like really gets intense.
Yeah.
So that was the build.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done so well.
Yeah.
And the entrances
yeah.
were pretty great. But the match itself was awesome. It's the second longest match in WrestleMania history.
Right behind the Iron Man match.
Yes, yep. Clocking it at over 50 minutes.
Which is crazy because, I mean, some people would probably say, oh, it felt every bit of 50 minutes. It didn't feel that long to me.
No.
I don't know if it's just because I was engaged the whole time or whatever, but like, it kind of from the start just kept put the foot on the gas of the drama and stuff like that. And I guess it kind of started a little slow, but once the action moved outside the ring and into the crowd and stuff like that, it comes back and like, I'm hooked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are they going to do? Like, I figured The Rock and Roman would win because you got, in my head, I'm just like, oh, you just got to, it's, I don't think Roman's going to win night two. The Rock's got to get a victory night one. The Rock and Roman, the bad guys have to get their victory.
Mm-hmm.
They can't lose both nights.
Yeah. Plus the stipulation is if Rock and Roman win, it's Bloodline rules the next night, which was, it's kind of a ambiguous thing.
It's very vague.
Yeah. It's essentially mm-hmm. it's a hardcore match, but it's just something to further
yeah.
put Cody's back up.
You
kind of
guess like it, all bets are off. The yeah. bloodline's probably going to mm-hmm. make Cody's life a living yeah. hell. They're going to make the odds so insurmountable that's mm-hmm. like there's no way he's going to yeah. win.
Yeah. The pacing of the match was really good, and mm-hmm. I think you protect the because it's easy to expose the although they hyped him up, they said he's been training for 12 weeks. He flies people in to Hawaii and helps him train. He trains with three people every week for the last 12 mm-hmm. weeks, and I mean, honestly, you know, the bell rings, and if it's The Rock in there most of the time, we're going to see how gassed he gets.
Yeah. This was the perfect situation for him.
Yeah.
It was a tag team
gives match. Him a chance that if he's getting a little gassed, you tag in Roman, mm-hmm. even if that's just the spot anyway, or that's supposed to happen. It gives him a chance to rest.
Yeah.
The pacing of the match it didn't meander
yeah.
at all. You know, everything had its place. Everything had its purpose. And it
commentary emphasize the fact that Seth and Cody and Roman all had matches the next night too.
Mm-hmm.
Cody suffered a knee injury
mm-hmm.
early in the match, and he was selling that the whole match. And it's like, how's this gonna bode for? And we'll talk about kind of the booking decision the next night on how that made the most sense given, you know, his injury and him mm-hmm. wrestling a match the previous night. But so yeah, you got three of the four guys pulling double duty, and so. Yeah, it was a really strong match, really engaging, told a good story.
Mm-hmm.
There were spots to where you're like, oh, I think Cody's going to win. And then, you know, you got your false finishes, stuff like that. And yeah, it turns it match ends, and it ends with a people's elbow. And it ends with Michael Cole saying, like,
Cody's screwed.
Yeah, essentially. So it really makes you want to watch night two.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the greatest decisions WWE has made is splitting WrestleMania yes. into two nights.
Agreed. Totally.
It allows for things like this. It allows for people to not be utterly exhausted at the end of one night.
Yeah.
Because they were talking about previous WrestleMania cards and how there were 12 matches on a card.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were 12 matches. 13 matches between both nights.
Mm-hmm.
Had this been a WrestleMania mm-hmm. 6 years ago,
mm-hmm.
we would have had 13 matches, and this event probably would have started at 2:00.
Yeah.
And
with
just
all the pre-show stuff.
Just not be yeah. finishing. So the fact that we had two nights of wrestling,
mm-hmm.
that they could tell this story of, you know, because I'm picturing this as it, because I've been watching wrestling since I was 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Last night at the end of it, when I went to bed, I put myself into the perspective and shoes of if I was 10 watching this.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of 10-year-old me, who didn't realize how wrestling worked, didn't understand the business side of things and booking and all that stuff. If I were to have seen Cody and Seth lose night one of WrestleMania, I would have gone to bed Saturday night
upset, furious, and so anxious because I was like, Cody's going to lose tomorrow. Cody's going to lose tomorrow. He's going to lose and it's not fair. So I'm just, I'm thinking of like the next generation of fans who are benefiting now from having WrestleMania spread across two nights, because I've said this on other podcast episodes. I think I said it on the last one. I'm a storytelling guy.
Yeah.
I love storytelling. Mm-hmm. That moment of Michael Cole, as soon as the ref hit three with Rock covering Cody, him saying, Cody's screwed.
Yeah.
That's like, that's perfect storytelling. You've put your hero against the wall with his back in the corner. He's fighting against everything now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I do love how almost every WrestleMania that has a 10, like starting with 20, I would say.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 20, 30, and now 40, every 10th year, it really builds around this underdog.
Yes.
You know, WrestleMania 20, it built around Chris Benoit. We won't talk much about him.
Yeah.
He was an underdog, though, in that storyline. WrestleMania 30, it built around Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimate underdog, I would say. Even more so than Cody.
Yeah. 10 was Bret Hart.
He was underdog
against Yokozuna.
Yeah. It's always been this underdog on the 10-year WrestleMania. And now you have Cody. And, I mean, Cody's a very handsome man.
Yeah.
People don't look at him and think you're an underdog.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of natural talent, a lot of natural skill. He has a good build for himself as a wrestler. He doesn't look like someone that you would underestimate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is how you make him that underdog.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've already lost to Roman before. I'm now in a bloodline rules match where we don't know what that means, and I have my back against the wall.
But it ain't good.
Yeah. So night two, you know, we end night one on a very solid match, but storyline wise, something that is very down, and leading the night too. And I think, again, booking decision aside, from Sammy versus Gunther, I would say through the end of night one and all the way through night two, I would say it was a very solid WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And yet last year was more of the same, except reverse it. Yeah. Night one was very good, and night two was underwhelming comparatively.
Sure.
So, but I think all in all, it was a very, very good WrestleMania.
I think had you kicked off the show with the Rey Andrade, Dominic, and Santos, and then followed it up with, you know, Damage Control against, you know, Bianca and Jade and Naomi, and then you did the ladder match, and then everything after the ladder match, it would have been, I think the tune would have been, it started a little slow, but ladder match on, great WrestleMania. Still a great WrestleMania.
It was. It was very good, just, and the ending absolutely helped.
Just take out, you know, just night one was definitely two good matches to start. Kind of meh in the middle.
Two good matches.
Like I said at the top, book ended with two good matches.
Mm-hmm. And night one ended, like Jeff had said, mirroring how night two ended last year with Cody dejected, sitting in the middle of the ring. Now you have, there's further despair on his face because now he's caused Seth embarrassment, and Seth is kind of looking at him. Not like pissed, but he's just like looking at him like a come on man look in his face. Those two have history. And we see behind him Roman and Rock now, as opposed to just Roman holding both belts from last year. It's Roman and Rock holding their respective belts because Rock had his People's Championship belt. And night one ended the way night two ended last year. So ending that part of night one, ending this coverage of night one on a down note, but it only goes up from here. But we'll get into night two next time around. We're gonna do like we did last year, how we're gonna split night one and night two up into two different episodes. So that ends our coverage of night one, but stay tuned, night two is coming at you very, very soon. Until then,
Be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude and can be rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.